This follows along the same methods that Liz was just introducing. Again, this is work with Jeannie Reeves at Cotton Incorporated, and I'm thankful for their support on this. Basically burrowing down into the NAF data to look at farm structure. One of the things that motivated this, can y'all hear me? Is that better? One of the things that motivated this is you look, you know, you pick up the New York Times, you pick up the Washington Post, major media, you hear the term corporate farms. It's like, well, what exactly does that mean? And one of the things, it's used a lot, and it's often used very disparagingly, and in contrast to family farms, which is good, corporate farms are bad. And casually, I just started asking people, well, what do you think of when you hear the term corporate farm? And again, there's rural sociologists do focus groups, and they say over and over again that that has like a negative connotation. And it's often used, it's a critique of farm programs. People shouldn't get farm program payments. Farmers are using too much water. You know, international trade is bad because there's corporate farms. Farms should be regulated more. You know, biotechnology should be regulated more. Pesticides should be made regulated more. And the cost of regulations really aren't that high because you're affecting these large corporate farms. And I started polling people casually, especially people without farm backgrounds, about what do you think of when you hear the term corporate farm. And what I discovered is most people think that a lot of farms in the United States are operated by very large, publicly traded, multinational corporations operated on kind of a Stalinist collective farm scale. And that's what people think, you know, farm structure is. Or when they hear corporate farms, that's what they're thinking of. So I wanted to actually look at data. You know, say, well, what is the farm structure, and what is the role that corporations, actually business entities that are incorporated, again, as Liz says, look at the definitions of things closely to see what's going on. Okay, so how much of U.S. cotton production is actually carried out by, you know, family farms, family operations, corporate, other kinds of operations? You know, how do corporate and family operations differ? You know, in this presentation, and don't get it, trends, but I'll look at some of the regional patterns of production by farm type. Okay, and so the Census of Agriculture has four different categories. They're either family operations or individual sole proprietorships, and there's partnerships, including partnerships between families. Husbands and wives aren't included as partners, unless they're a legal partnership. And there's corporations, including family-held corporations, and then there's other. These are cooperative estates. These could be also like prison farms or institutional. It's either, you know, universities. It's kind of interesting that university farms and prison farms are lumped together. But so if we look at, you know, here, and so what USDA basically does is they separate things. They say, you know, what's their structure for legal status in terms of reporting to the IRS? And in terms of number of farms, most farms are either family farms or individuals, followed by partnerships at 21% of all cotton farms. These are farms that are have sold cotton. And 8% are family-held corporations, so it's family members that they're incorporated, but it's a family unit. And only 1% of the farms are non-family corporations and other of these different kinds of institutions. If you look at acreage, slightly less percentage are family individuals, slightly more are family and non-family corporations because there's the scale of operation is bigger. And if you look at production, again, family and individual farms, the share goes down a little bit because they tend to have lower yields. And then if you look at sales values, it's even less. But again, if you look at corporations, and especially non-family corporations, it's only 4% of U.S. sales. If we look at acres per farm, the non-family corporate farms are corporations are larger. They have higher bales per acre. They also have much higher revenues per acre. And this is just a distribution of U.S. farms by cotton acreage. You can see that the scale, you know, most farms are 500 acres or more, and this is the same data in terms of shares. You know, a third of farms have 500 acres or more, but then, you know, 5% have 24 acres of cotton or less, 16 have, you know, less than 99 acres. So about, you know, one in five operations have less than 100 acres of cotton. And this breaks down legal status and acreage. And the family farm, the family and individual farms have a higher percentage of, you know, the very small acreage, 1 to 24 acres. The partnerships get bigger. Family-held corporations are relatively constant. Again, non-family corporations, they have small shares of everything. It gets a little, they're relatively bigger, but they're still a small share of overall production. Here's irrigation and specialization. This is the percentage of farms that irrigate cotton. So 63% of farms that irrigate cotton are family and individual farms, as opposed to, let's say, 1% of cotton farms that irrigate cotton are non-family corporations. In terms of the percent, this is the percent of total cotton acres that are irrigated. So 48% of all the irrigated cotton acres are held by family or individual operations, and only 3% of all the irrigated cotton acres are non-family corporations. This is NAICS cotton farms. This is the NAS definition. So these are farms that are getting most of their farm income from cotton, or like they have what, like 50% or more of their gross farm income comes from cotton and cottonseed sales. 75% of those are family or individual operations. Irrigation adoption. So this is the percent of farms that are irrigating cotton. And you could see that the corporations have more than family operations, and the percent of acres that are irrigated is a lot higher for non-family corporations. If you look at revenues per pound and per farm, the revenues per pound are a lot higher for non-family corporation. That's because they're growing a lot of Pima cotton, and that's why it's higher. And if you look at the actual, you know, dollars per farm, okay, they're higher for non-family corporations, but if you look at that number, that's not, you know, if you compare that, let's say, with a car dealership, that's not a lot of money. This certainly isn't Exxon. You know, when you're talking about large corporations, this is not vast operations. If you look at where non-family held corporations are, there's a small number of them. This is by sales in California. So you have a small number of operations in California that account for the people who are organized as corporations. And it's pretty small everywhere else. Some of the other states have to lump them together because there aren't enough of them so that USDA doesn't report those numbers. Okay, so here's incorporated cotton operations. So one of the things the numbers show you is that most of the operations are family held or partnerships. Now if you look at within the class of corporations, that most of the farm operation, cotton operations that are corporations are family corporations with fewer than 10 shareholders. Okay, again, this is an Exxon, right? These are incorporated for tax purposes, but they aren't like large publicly held entities. And if you look at non-family corporations, even there, 7% of the total is people with fewer than 10 shareholders. So again, this is presenting the numbers in slightly different ways. You know, this is total cotton and cottonseed sales from the census, that the vast majority are either family, individual farms, or partnerships. Corporations are a small share of overall sale. And if you look at non-family held corporations with more than 10 shareholders, it's a very small share of the total production. And so summing up, U.S. cotton production is predominantly family and individual operations and partnerships. They count for 87% of the sales. And so within overall cotton production, family operations and partnerships dominate. Within the universe of corporations, family corporations dominate. So family-held corporations are 92% of corporations, and they're 69% of corporate sales. I didn't put it up here, but I was looking at other kinds of types of industries that are corporations. And one of the things that popped up was pediatricians. There's a lot of pediatric practices in hospitals now. We have groups of pediatricians because kids get sick at all hours of the day, and so you have to have lots of people on call. And, you know, you go to here different hospitals. Here's the peers, and they're, for tax purposes, they're a corporation. And, you know, there's a list of pediatricians, and they're parts of shareholders. So what I've been telling people is that, for the most part, cotton production is family operations or partnerships. To the extent that there are corporations, they are not corporations like Exxon. They are not corporations like, you know, Sony or something like that. They are corporations like your pediatrician is a corporation, which is a very different, you know, kind of story. And if you look at how much they're making, you know, compared to large publicly traded entities, they're just not that big on that kind of scale. So when, you know, if you look at most of the operations, these are family individual operations or family held corporations. So the basic structure of cotton production in the U.S. is still family based. Yeah, Jeannie's twisted my arm to do it.
All of us economists would like to have it.
Sure enough. Yeah. Yeah, but that's in the works. Right. Yeah. Right. If you do it as a percentage of output, yeah. Well, that's why with a lot of these things, I put the numbers in terms of like numbers of farms and in like and percent of sales. And yeah, you always want to look at who's producing everything and doing it as a share of sales plus the number of units. When we get something similar in Arizona, where we've got like 20,000 people listed as farmers. And there was a huge jump in the number of farms just because they reclassified how they count Indian reservations. Because, like, a reservation with 1,000 people was one farm, and then they changed the definition, and so now there's, like, 1,000 farms that shot up. So, yeah, you've got to look at not just the number of what's called a farm, and also what's called a farm is you just have to have you have to have the capacity to sell $1,000 worth a crop, and then USDA counts you as a farm. Yeah, so you've got to look at what you're actually producing, not just, you know, the number of farms. No, I agree. We're done. Cool.